Okay, so Perek Vav in Hosea is now we right the first five the first six psukim are about turning to is a call for full tshuva. Right? So lechuvin hashuva l'Adonai ki hu taraf v'yirpa'enu yach v'yach v'sheinu. Let us turn back to God because what? Right, because he can heal us. He's hurt us, but he can heal us. Right? Where now this is a quote, just so you know. It's not a quote, it's a paraphrase from where? From Dvarim. Right? Where he says, Machatzi vanirpa. Where God says, I have struck you down, but I can heal you. Right? Meaning Vein Yadi Matzil. Right, yes. And there's no one to save you from me if I don't. Right? Hit. And he can heal. Which we find in Eov as well. In 2 days, he'll make us whole again. On the third day, he will raise us up and we will be whole by his favor. That means, right now it's like 2 days, that means... No, oh, something so metaphorical. In Pshat, it probably just means like soon, right? The next, you know, it'll be, right? Yoma Yomayim, right? In the next day or two. Right, or two or three. Now, that's pshat, however, because Josh thinks so midrashically, Rashi says what Josh says, which is Yechazkenu Mishtei Poranot Shavralenu Mishtei Mikdashot Shecharvu, that God will give us comfort over the two Batei Mikdash that were destroyed. So yes, if you want to think very Drashi.
Drashi.
I didn't mean that.
So wait, he's saying in 2 days he'll knock us down and then he'll comfort us?
Right, meaning he'll comfort us from the destruction of the two Batei Mikdash, and the third Beit HaMikdash will take us up. Yes, that is Rashi's. The truth is that the Gemara actually takes it slightly differently. So this is not Rashi just, you know, quoting a Gemara, it's not. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says the following: Damar of Katina, Shita Alfe Shane Heve Alma Vechad Charuv. Right, the world will be 6,000 years, and then 1,000 years of destruction. Shneamar v'nisgav Hashem levado bayomahu, because on that day Hashem will be alone, and you know a day of God is 1,000 years, etc. And Amar Abaye Trei Charuv, there will be 2,000 years of destruction. Shneamar Yichayenu Miyomayim.
So after 2,000 years, the world is going to be undestroyed.
Yeah, something like that, right? So according to the Gemara, it may mean that this is more of some like end of days scenario, in which, you know, there will be a 1,000 years, whatever that means, or 2,000 years of destruction, after which some sort of revival. Post that thing. The Sifrei has yet a different position. The Sifrei, which is obviously even earlier, says, Davar acher ani amid ve'echye, I will put to death and I'll bring back to life. Ze'echad me'arba avtachot, shenitan lehem remez l'tchiyat ha'metim. Right, this is one of the hints that we have for the resurrection of the dead. Ani amid ve'echye, tamut nafshi mot yisharim, yechiru uvein val yamot. Right, so those are the other three, right? So one is by Bilam, where he says, I want to die like the Yisharim, which he sees as, I want to die like the Yisharim who will come back. Yechiru Uvein, when Moshe says, when Uvein come back. But one of them is Yechayenu Miyomayim, Shomea Ani Mita Be'echad V'chayim Be'echad. You might think that, look, that means that some people will be alive and other people will die. No, Tamal Omar Machatzti Anerpa, I have struck, and I will heal, meaning... Just like when someone strikes and heals, it's talking about the same person. So too, when we talk about God bringing back from the dead, that's what we're talking about, right? So according to the Sifrei, this is a nevuah b'atchiyat ha'metim, which it could be that's what the Gemara is getting at. I don't know if after the 2,000 of years of destruction, if automatically what's coming is tchiyat ha'metim, right? But what you have is, the pshat here is simply Yeshua's coming soon, in 2-3 days, right? Soon. But you have all the midrashic levels, like Josh correctly notes, where Rashi says, yes, I've hit you down in the two bet the Mikdash, but then you'll have the third, or there will be 2,000 years of destruction, or there will be 3,000, or there will be two, or there will be Tchiyat HaMetim. Etc. The Ran has yet another position. The Ran in the Drashot says, "Kishayashuvu b'tshuva shleima, v'yasimu avonam neged einehem." When they do tshuva, which is obviously the topic here in Hosea, and they put their sins in front of their face, right? Meaning they own up to their sins. Yachshuvu kol yemei tzaratam imarchu meod liyomayim. Right, the part of the refuah is that no matter how long the pain goes on for, it will feel like it was a mere 2 days. Right, by the end, it'll feel like it was fleeting. Mimineisha kol yisurein ka'ayin ukeefes v'shirachem el avonoteihem. Because all of their suffering will be like nothing, like zero, when God awakens them, right, for their... right, or heals them from their sins. Okay, right, so those are a few different perspectives on what this means. Right, the Ibn Ezra says that it's talking about Galut, right, not necessarily the Beit HaMikdash, but the fact that after the Galuyot, there will be... I'll just read you the Ibn Ezra, and then we'll go on to the next pasuk. Second, Ibn Ezra says, "Yichayenu yomayim is man karov shlishi avach kol nishbar kias yichav." Okay. Anyways, oh, sorry, it's not in the Ibn Ezra, right? I have it here. It's in the Radak quotes him, but it's actually not what the Ibn Ezra himself says. But he quotes the Radak. The Radak quotes the Ibn Ezra saying, "Byom shlishi avach kol nishbar kias yichav." He said, "This is Allah Hatid Umi Omayim Mishal Mashal Shnei Goliot." Right, it's after the two Goliot, and then on the third Galut, we will, or the third will be brought back. Right, so Mitzrayim Galut Bavel, but Yom Hashlishi Mashal Galut Hazeh. Right, so this Galut, after this third Galut, that's when God will save us, which is the Galut of whatever, Rome or something. Okay, anyways, so whatever it is, at some point God will redeem us after all of this. Pasuk Gimel, v'neida'a v'nirdifah l'adar Adonai k'shachar nachon motzo'o v'yavoch ha'geshem lanu k'malkosh yosha eretz. We will, let us pursue obedience to God, to know God. And it'll appear like the, as sure as the daybreak, and it'll come like rain that refreshes the earth. Right? Right, so if we serve God, right, then God will, right, reveal himself, right? So the rain, it's not just any rain, right? What's the malkosh? It's a little bit of a play on words, right? What's malkosh yoreh? So yoreh is usually the first rain, malkosh is the last rain, but instead it's malkosh, and yoreh is used as a verb, so it's obviously a little bit of a play. Yeah, right? Marvet. Right, so some people say here that yoreh really does mean the first rain, but it's sort of hard here to say that that's what it means. But it'll be like rain, and obviously rain is a very strong image of bracha. It has the ability to revitalize. And in Tanakh, rain in general is the symbol that God is paying attention to Eretz Israel and that there's hashkacha. And then God, or Hosea is really, Hosea turns to, "Ma'a selecha Ephraim, ma'a selecha Yehuda, v'chastechem ka'anan boker." V'chatal mashkim holeich. Right, what can I do for you, Ephraim? What can I do for you, Yehuda? I mean, Yisrael and Yehuda. When your goodness is like morning clouds, like dew so early gone. So Rashi says what this means is, look, if you did shuv, everything would be good, but what am I supposed to do for it? Your goodness is as long-lasting as that like little drizzle in the morning that evaporates. Yeah, so Rashi takes this as a bad pasuk, which is, look, God could so easily, right, do tshuva, because once you do tshuva, things will be great. But what am I supposed to do for you now? You know, your goodness is as fleeting as a little bit of rain that evaporates. And therefore, it is like nothing. No, this is not a good pasuk. But that does seem to be the pshat here, right? Which is, look, you have to do real tshuva, because what you're doing now is just not working that way. Now, obviously, there is the play on words here, where he's saying, look, your goodness, if you do tshuva, then God's goodness will be like rain. But right now, you're not doing goodness, so instead your goodness is as fleeting as dew, right? Obviously, there's a play, because you're not getting God's rain of goodness, because your goodness is as long-lasting as the dew that evaporates in the morning. Al kein chatzavti b'neviim haraktim b'imreifim mishpatech or yetzei, ki chetz zed chafatzi v'lo zavach v'dad Elohim me'odot. And that's why I have hewn down the prophets, right? Meaning I've killed these prophets, as like the false ones and the like, because you don't, right? You don't listen. And then he says to him, this is a theme that we get a lot in Nevi'im, which is, I don't want you, right? What are you doing, right? You're giving me karbanot. I don't want karbanot, right? This is one of those main messages that we have in a lot of the Nevi'im Achronim, is that the false prophets all said, don't worry, the Beit HaMikdash is fine, bring karbanot, it'll all be good. And, right, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heima, as you have in Yirmiyahu, don't worry, Beit HaMikdash can't be destroyed, it's God's home, it's God's home, God's home. And God's answer is always,
no,
I don't want your karbanot, I want you to be good people, right? Now, this is relatively calm, right, where he says, I don't want karbanot. Whereas in Yeshayahu, he says, who asked for this? They're disgusting. Why are you trampling my Beit HaMikdash? I hate you people. You are stone. Avodah Zarah. It depends at different points. Sometimes Avodah Zarah. Sometimes murder. Sometimes Gilei Raiyot. Sometimes no chesed, and staka, and not taking care of the orphans. And in Hosea, it's also gluttonous leaders who don't really care about leading, but care about stuffing themselves. Now, what exactly does it mean that I didn't want karbanot? Because, you know, God obviously did want karbanot, and yet we have it in Shmuel, and we have Yeshayahu, and we have Yirmiyahu, right? Now, in Yirmiyahu, for example, it doesn't say anyone karbat. No, it said, Lo dibarti avodeichem lo tziviti biyom otzio otam eretz Mitzrayim. But that when they left Mitzrayim, I didn't want it. So everyone asks, well, what does this mean? So some just say, look, God wants it, but only with a certain background. Right? Like, karbanot are meaningful if there's an expression of a healthy relationship with God, but not as a replacement. Others note that it's very specific, that when it's, right, like when Yirmiyahu says, I didn't command you about karbanot when you left Mitzrayim, he means that. He's saying, look, it's not that I didn't command you about karbanot, I did, but it wasn't the first thing I said when you left Mitzrayim, because it's not that, it's important, but only on the background of other things. But, you know, you seem to think that all I need is, you know, is food. And you don't understand that it's just a means. Right, so the Rambam writes about this in Mar-Nevuchem. Many Mepharshim note this. So obviously, karbanot are important, but within a certain context, and therefore, he would rather dot Elokim, right? Me'alot, he would rather have them actually searching for God. Okay, that is the first six psukim. And now, after saying, "Well, that's what I would really like from you is to do tshuva," because you haven't. Now he goes and he says, "Well, this is your current situation," and this is what we get a lot of, you know, in Yeshayahu also, is instead I get, Vehema Kadam of Ruvrit Shambagduvi. Instead, they are, every man, they've transgressed the covenant, they've committed treason against me. Gilad Kiryat Po'aleyavin Akuba Midam.
Is it everyone, or it's Ke'adam?
So Ke'adam could mean, like the JPS translated it as to a man, right? Meaning every man. Rashi says Ka'adam means like Adam. Like Adam, you messed up from the beginning, right? Like, just like he messed up in Gan Eden, you messed up. Ibn Ezra says this is referring only to the Nevi HaSheker, right? So is it talking about every person? Is it talking about the fact that people themselves, like Adam, mess up from the get-go? Is it, again, going back to limiting themselves to the leaders, right? Like we had before. So whether it's everybody or the leaders, they're bad. The Dot McCross says that maybe what it means is you are acting against me as if I was merely a person, right? Meaning you're not scared of me. You don't feel, right? You don't realize what you're doing as if I was a person. And instead, right, what do you have? The reality is Gilad, Kiryat Po'aleyav, and Akuba Midam. Gilad is a city of evildoers tracked up with blood, right? It is, bad. Very, very, very bad. Now, Rashi says that it literally means they're murderers, right? That Mileya Orvei Ritzicha, right? It's full of... it's full of murderers, right? People who want to murder, or according to Ibn Ezra, or full of blood that has already been spilled. Either way, not, great. So, right. So it's dirtied with blood. It's filled with blood. It's full of bloodlust, right? However you want to take it, whether it's talking about past crimes or future crimes, right? It's bad. And then in a very harsh pasuk in pasuk tet, which is very clear about his love for the leaders in this generation, ukechake ish gedudim chever kohanim derech yiratzchu shechma kizima asu. And the gang, I'll read you the JPS. The gang of priests is like the ambuscade of bandits who murder on the road to Shechem, for they have encouraged depravity. Now, whatever exactly it means.
Bandits.
Of bandits. Meaning the priests, the kohanim, are... thieves. Now, Rashi reads this completely differently, right? Which is, Chakeh he reads as a fisherman, right? So, as a fisherman gathers fish, they gather bands together, and then they go and they come up with plots, right? Evil plots. Right? So again, it's the leaders here are really, really, really bad. And they are, exactly, whether it's a gang or it's like a group of fish or a school of fish, whatever it is. B'vei Yisrael ra'iti sha'aruria sham znut le'Ephraim nidmal Yisrael. In amongst the Jews, I have seen a horrible thing. Ephraim has fornicated there. Israel has defiled himself. Which again, does it mean avodah zarah? Does it mean actual Arayot, or is it, right? It probably here means avodah zarah, as it usually means, right? And that's how the Ibn Ezra takes it, right? That it's not znut, actually. It's that they served the agalim in Bedel, right? It was znut against God. And it's not just Israel, but in Yudalith, you get the Gam Yehuda, Shad Katsir Lach, Vishuvi Shvudami, and even Yehuda has reaped a harvest of this, meaning they've also reaped some of the sins here. It started with Israel, but it's also true of Yehuda. Right, so again, you get some of these themes, the importance of the leaders and their corruption, the idea that God doesn't want korbanot, he wants them to act well, they're worshiping avodah zarah. See if anything else in Dot Mikra is interesting here. He does know, right? It is interesting how many places get identified in 11 Psukim here, right? There's seven different cities that are identified, and that the sins that we get are Gilui Arayot, right? Even if they mean avodah zarah, right? The three sins that get mentioned are Gilui Arayot, avodah zarah, and Shvichul Damin, right? Right? Even if one of them is a mashal, right? The fact is that we end up mentioning the big three, which of course for Chazal is why the first Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. So the first half of these, this parak is saying that, look, unless you do tshuva, there's no hope. The second is saying, because, look, this is what you have been doing. On the pasuk of the Brit, I'll just point out, 1 second.
It's with Adam, right? It's with Adam.
Yeah, 1 second. So what is Avru Brit? So another possibility in the Gemara, that this is probably more a statement about their time, because this was a problem in Chazal's time, and they read it back in the story, that Avru Brit is Moshech Bar Lato. Right? Is Moshech Bar Lato. It's someone who would try to reverse the Brit Milah. There's a fancy word for it. It's 1 second. It's epispasm. Epispasm. Yes. But they would do that, right, to fit in with the Greeks, with the Romans, who, you know, celebrated the untouched human body. So they read that into here, right? That, and the way they have it is Adam Arishon Minhaya, right? It goes like this, right? That Adam was a heretic. Shnemar Vaikra Hashem Elokim El Adam Hayomer Lo Hayecha, because when God called out, he said, well, where are you? Right? Right, he said, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Moshech Baralato Haya, it says, no, Adam himself reversed his circumcision, and then it compares it, and the source is this pasuk, which is a very interesting read of Adam, and a very interesting read of this story, because it says, Ke Adam, and he was over a Brit. So the Gemara says, yes, Adam and the people of Moshea were violating epispasm, and trying to reverse the Brit. I don't know what to tell you. Or he mauled himself. I don't know. There is an interesting Gemara in Tainit that focuses on how much there's lying here in Bavel, where Ula once was davening for rain. He saw clouds going by, rain clouds going to Bavel, and then they just pass by. And he says, not only are the people in Bavel liars, but their clouds are liars, right? So that, right, Chazal really built on the idea that people in here are quite bad in general. Maybe just one more because I'm running late. But if you just look at the Gemara in Erechin, and the Gemara has an interesting comment here. That on this comment of Yehuda, right? So the Radakta says, look, that Yehuda himself went to be Hoshev Zara, even though he had the Beit HaMikdash, which is why it's even worse. The Gemara goes farther and tells a story that Yirmiyah Chzirim Yoshev and Amon Malach Alayen, that Yirmiyah helped them do tshuva. V'non lahadur dechtev gamocher al memkar lo yeshuv efshar yovel batel v'navi minave elav shivatel elam milamech chzir. Oh, sorry, this is Yovel. So the Gemara says at some point they brought it. The Yovel minalan to Yosho Malach Alayen. How do we know Yosho was king? Dechtev ayomer ma'atziyun alaz asher niroev vayimroi elav anshei ir akever isha lokim shemav yudav v'yikrad dvarim al mizbech beit el kimati v'oshel yeshu beit el. That at some point Yoshiyahu brought them, that Yirmiyahu brought them back, and Yoshiyahu was king over Yehuda and Yisrael. Right, so the Gemara has the suggestion, the reason Yehuda and Yisrael are both involved is there is a time in which they are both ruled by Melech Yehuda, and therefore whatever sin one is violating the other is because they have a period of unification during the time of Yirmiyahu under Yoshiyahu. And that's how they both end up sinning. Okay? So that is the Gemara's suggestion, but we